Sairada Madhava Kundabhyari. Sairada Madhava Kundabhyari. Gopijana Balava Girivanadari. Gopijana Balava Girivanadari. Yasoda nanana, braja jana ranjana. Yasoda nanana, braja jana ranjana. Yamuna tirha vanachari. Yamuna tirha vanachari. Sairada Madhava Kundabhyari. Sairada Madhava Kundabhyari. Gopijana Balava Girivanadari. Gopijana Balava Girivanadari. Yasoda nanana, braja jana ranjana. Yasoda nanana, braja jana ranjana. Yamuna tirha vanachari. Yamuna tirha vanachari. Sairada Madhava Kundabhyari. Sairada Madhava Kundabhyari. Gopijana Balava Girivanadari. Gopijana Balava Girivanadari. Yasoda nanana, braja jana ranjana. Yasoda nanana, braja jana ranjana. Yamuna tirha vanachari. Yamuna tirha vanachari. Sairada Madhava Kundabhyari.
Why did you take the one off there? We haven't even read the purport.
41, and that's part of it.
Oh, okay. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prabhupada Akacharya Asatara Sadushi Sriman His Divine Grace, Lacey, Bhaktivedanta Swami Raj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premanande, Harivo, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga. Among Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Vuday, Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane, Namaste Sarasvatam Deve, Gauravani Vicharane, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarne. The only problem is that you're the only one here from yesterday. So I don't think we'll follow the same strategy. What's that? Oh, yeah. Okay. Can you tell us the four?
Tell you the four?
No, the four qualities that were first discussed.
No, I'm not sorry. I don't know the script.
Can you tell us the four qualities?
No, I was actually focusing on one of them. I wasn't trying to remember all of them.
No, not all of them, but the first four. Can you tell us one of the first four? One of the first four qualities that were mentioned by Krishna.
What is a wise man and what is a fool?
What's a wise man? Okay, and who's a fool?
It's one who identifies himself with the body and the mind.
Yes. Anyhow, so I think we'll have a different strategy today. We're going to read the purport, actually. It's going to be more of a regular class. So I'm going to read the Om Agyanatimanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita, Shiva Sakans Vitamsha, Hey Krishna Karna Sindo, Dinavando Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchena Gorangi, Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari, Prishubhanu Siddha Devi, Pranamami Hri Priye, Vanchakapa Turbhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Patitanam Bhavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Purunitananda, Shri Advaitika Radhar Shivasiddhi Gaur Bhaktivrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Translate Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 11, Chapter 19, The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge. Text number 2 is on the board, so. Shri Guna Naira Peksh Yadya. Sukham Dukha Suk Atnayaya. Dukham Kama Sukha Peksha. Pandito Banda Mokshavat Vit. Shri Guna Naira Pekshayadya
Sukham dukha sukhatyaya. Dukham kama sukha peksha. Pandito banda mokshavit. Shri Guna Narapek Shakyaya Katyaya Kam Kama Sukha Peksha Pandito Bandha Mokshavit Harakshaya Beauty. Guna, good qualities. Nirapeksha, detachment from material things. Adya, and so on. Sukham, happiness. Dukkha, material unhappiness. Sukha and material happiness. Atyaya, transcending. Dukham, unhappiness. Kama of lust. Sukha, unhappiness. Apeksha, meditating. Pandita, a wise man. Banda, from bondage. Moksha, liberation. Vit, one who knows. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Actual opulence is my own nature as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Through which I exhibit the six unlimited opulences. Pretty confusing, actually. Yeah, it's actually, if you look at the Sanskrit, it says, Bhaga opulence, may my Aishvarya divine bhava nature. So my divine nature, opulence is my divine nature. And then they have this very strange translation. Actual opulence is my own nature as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Through which I exhibit the unlimited, six unlimited opulences. Could have been just translated as that my divine nature is, opulence is my divine nature, and that's it. That makes a lot more sense.
The opulences of my divine nature?
No, opulence is my divine nature. But here they have some strange translation. The supreme gain in life is devotional service to me. An actual education is nullifying the false perception of duality within the soul, which is another weird way of putting things. Because the Sanskrit says, Vidya Atmani, Bida Bada. So education is nullifying, when the soul nullifies duality, when it transcends duality. But here they have something else. So actual education nullifying the false perception of duality within the soul. But there's no duality in the soul. So these translations are a little difficult, because actually the Sanskrit is quite simple, but for some reason they decided to make it very complicated. So we can't understand it. That way you can go on back of reading it again and again, trying to figure it out, till you finally look at the Sanskrit and see it's actually quite simple. Real modesty is to be disgusted with improper activities. So here it says, Para Jigupsa Ri Akarmasu. So real modesty means to be disgusted with sinful activities. Real happiness is to transcend material happiness and unhappiness. And real misery is to be implicated in searching for sex pleasure. So here it says, Dukkha, Sukha, Adhyaya, Dukkham, Kama, Sukha, and the happiness, Apeksha. So it says, so the translation could have been, real happiness is to transcend material happiness, unhappiness, and unhappiness means to meditate on sense gratification. But here it says, real misery is implicated in searching for sex pleasure. That's not what it says. It says meditating on sense enjoyment. The word here used is apeksha. Well, it means to be attached, actually. Apeksha means to be attached. It's not even meditating. It's to be attached to sense gratification. A wise man is one who knows the process of freedom from bondage, and a fool is one who identifies with the material body and mind. The real path of life is that which leads to me, and the wrong path is sense gratification, by which consciousness is bewildered. Actual heaven is the predominance of the mode of goodness, whereas hell is the predominance of ignorance. I am everyone's true friend, acting as the spiritual master of the entire universe. One's home is the human body. That doesn't make any sense. Griham, Shariram, Manusham. My dear friend Uddhava, one who is enriched with good qualities is actually said to be rich. One who is unsatisfied in life is actually poor. A wretched person is one who cannot control his senses, whereas one who is not attached to sense gratification is a real controller. One who attaches himself to sense gratification is the opposite of a slave. Thus, Uddhava, I have elucidated all these matters about which you inquired. There is no need for a more elaborate description of these good and bad qualities, since to constantly see bad and good is itself a bad quality. The best quality is to transcend material good and evil. Purport. The Supreme Personality of God is naturally full of six opulences, namely unlimited beauty, wealth, and fame, knowledge, strength, and renunciation. Therefore, the greatest profit in life is to achieve personal loving service to the Lord, who is naturally the reservoir of all pleasure. Real education means to give up the false idea that anything is separate from the Lord, the source of all potencies. Similarly, one who should not falsely consider the individual soul be different and separate from the Supreme Soul. Mere bashfulness does not constitute modesty. One should spontaneously withdraw and disgust from sinful activities. Then one is actually modest or humble. One who is satisfied in Krishna consciousness, thus does not seek material pleasure or suffer material unhappiness, is considered to be actually situated in happiness. The most wretched person is one addicted to sex pleasure, and a wise man is one who knows the process of freedom from such material bondage. A fool is one who gives up his eternal friendship with Lord Krishna, instead identifies himself with his own temporary material body, mind, society, community, and family. The real path in life is not simply a modern interstate or a more simple culture, or in more simple cultures, a footpath free of thorns and mud. It is that path that leads to Lord Krishna. The wrong path in life is not simply a road having many thieves or toll booths. It is that path that leads one to utter confusion and material sense gratification. A heavenly situation is that which the modes of goodness predominates rather than that found on the planet of Indra, where passion and ignorance sometimes disturb the celestial atmosphere. Hell is anywhere where the mode of ignorance is prominent, not merely the hellish planets, where according to Lord Shiva, a pure devotee can think of Krishna and remain happy. Our actual friend is in life is the bona fide spiritual master who saves us from all dangers. Among all gurus, Lord Krishna himself is the Jagat Guru, or the spiritual master of the entire universe. In material life, our own material body is our immediate home, rather than some structure of bricks, cement, stone, and wood. A rich man is one who possesses innumerable good qualities. He is not a neurotic fool with a large bank account. Poor man is one who is unsatisfied with his self-explanatory. One who cannot control his senses is certainly wretched and miserable in life, whereas one who detaches himself from material life is actually a lord or a controller. Modern times there are remnants of aristocracy in Europe and other countries, but such so-called lords often display the habits of lower forms of life. A real lord is one who conquers material existence by rising to the spiritual platform. A person who is attached to material life will undoubtedly manifest the opposites of all good qualities mentioned here. He is thus the symbol of going backward in life. The Lord concludes his analysis by stating that there is no need for further elaboration of these good and bad qualities. Indeed, the purpose of life is to transcend materially good and bad qualities, come to the liberated platform of pure Krishna consciousness. This point will be further explained in the following chapter. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeva Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shnivadi Paskatyade Siddharna. One way of summarizing what Lord Krishna says is Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavata Kinchana Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavata Kinchana Savarganas Tatram Mahasanorati. Actually, Sura. Manorite nastiti davato bahi. Let's start over again. Isyasti bhaktir bhagavata kinchana savarganas tatra samasate sura haravaktasa kutomaha gunan manorite nastiti davato bahi. Isyasti bhaktir bhagavata kinchana. So one who's actually detached from material existence, then he's actually found the shelter of all good qualities, namely Krishna. It's yasya bhakti or bhagavata kinchana savarganas tatra samasate sura. Then, in contact with Krishna, who's the reservoir of all good qualities, then one acquires also one's good qualities awaken. But, harava bhaktasi kuto maha gunan, that one who's arhara, one who's not in contact with Krishna, although, according to the modes of nature, they may manifest good and bad qualities, but actually their good and bad qualities are manifested are just a product of the mental platform. They're not really the product of the soul. They're coming from the good and bad qualities arising from the mind being in contact with the modes of nature. And therefore, sometimes good quality sometimes bad quality, sometimes bad quality, sometimes good quality, according to where their mind is wavering. One who's attached to the mental platform, when the mind's in goodness, then the person is goodness. When the mind's in passion, then the person's in passion. When the mind is in ignorance, then the mind is in ignorance. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, sarvanurupa sarvasha shradad bhavati bharata shadoma yoyam purusho yoyat shradas evasaha. That according to one's existence in the three modes of nature, one acquires a certain type of quality. According to the qualities one obtains, one will act, and thus obtain another type of existence, the material nature. So the qualities are unsteady in the material nature, and when the soul is in contact with the material nature, well, the qualities are unsteady because they work as the natural sequence. It's not that if I act in goodness, then I just remain in goodness. No, I actually further my involvement in goodness. If I act in goodness, then I further become involved in goodness. If I act in passion, then I gradually become more involved in passion, and then passion will lead to ignorance. Now, when passion is engaged for goodness, then it leads to goodness. When it's engaged for just gratification of the senses, which is a product of ignorance, then it leads to ignorance. So energy or passion can be applied in such a way as to elevate or degrade oneself. And when one comes to ignorance, then one, of course, ignorance also has to have some passion just to do anything. But generally the ignorance, there is no knowledge, there's just darkness, and darkness means one simply, whatever activity there is just to gratify the senses. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Rajas Tamas Shibhu Buya Sattvam Rajas Tamas Shaiva Tamas Sattvam Rajastata. Sometimes the mode of goodness becomes the mode of ignorance becomes prominent. Actually, sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent, defeating ignorance and passion. Sometimes rajas becomes prominent, defeating ignorance and goodness. And sometimes ignorance becomes prominent, defeating goodness and passion. So we have to choose. In the material world, we think we have choice. So the choice is whether we want to act in goodness or in passion or ignorance. If we act in goodness, then real goodness. Of course, nowadays people don't know what goodness is. They think if you can help a little old lady across the street, then you're acting in goodness. Because if the little old lady has a gun in her purse and goes and robs a store, and you helped across the street, then you become involved in you're actually not acting in goodness, you're acting in ignorance. Because you just assisted as an accomplice, this little old lady robbing the store. Of course, if she doesn't rob the store, she just goes to the place where she's buying meat and liquor, then you're even in a worse situation. Because instead of just involved in a robbery, you're involved in a murder. So they're thinking they're acting in goodness, like you give charity to the Cancer Foundation, and you give charity to the Feed the Homeless, but they feed them chicken. And the Cancer Foundation is giving them chemotherapy, and they're killing them. And so you're implicated in all these sinful activities, although you're thinking you're acting in goodness, but actually you're acting in ignorance and passion. But sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent. So what is the mode of goodness? It means just like King Riga. King Riga gave away more cows than there are stars in the sky. So how many stars in the sky are there? Well, if you can't figure it out, there's another quotation of numbers. He gave more cows away than there are grains of sand on the beach. Or the amount of rain drops there on in a thunderstorm. So who can, actually it was to indicate he gave away a lot of cows. And they weren't ordinary cows. They all had a silken wrapper on them. How much, I mean, how many silken wrappers can you buy? Even if you go to Lloyd Bazaar, they wouldn't be able to provide you with all the silken wrappers for that many of cows. And they all had gold, they had golden horns. Their horns were plated with gold. And their hooves were plated with silver. And they weren't ordinary cows. Each one of them had a newborn. They were all giving milk. And he gave them away not to ordinary people, but he gave them away to first-class brahmanas. But he committed one problem, one fault. Of course, everyone knows a fault. That's why no one gives away cows anymore. It's dangerous. He gave away a cow to one Brahmin, and then the cow left the Brahmin's herd, and it wandered back to his herd, and he gave away again. And somehow or another, the Brahmins, they realized, one Brahmin realized that my cow is now in the herd of this other Brahmin. And they began to argue whose cow it would be, and then they became so disturbed that the king, King Nariga, came, and he promised them to give them 100,000 cows in exchange for that one cow. And he begged them that don't do this or else I'll get cursed and I'll come back and I'll fall down into hell. But there was so much involved in the quarrel that they simply fighting with each other, they forgot, they disregarded the king's offer and they wound up, they just cursed each other and they cursed the king and they left the one cow there. That's called anger. And then they cursed the king, and so he, at the end of life, he was taken to Yamaraj. And Yamaraj said, you've given away, you've done so much pious credit, you've not only given away the cows, but you also dug wells, you also set up anashalas so the pilgrims can come by and take prasadam on the way to pilgrim. So you have more pious credit. There's no end to the pious reaction you'll get for it. But you've done that one mistake. You've twice given away a cow. And therefore, you've been cursed because of that. And therefore, you have to accept some time in sin in, as a reaction to it. So which do you want first? So he chose to become a lizard. Could you imagine what most people are going to become if you just make that mistake? I mean, who's going to give away a cow nowadays? What to speak of having such an insignificant mistake, innocent mistake. You're not even, didn't even do it on purpose. You wound up in the bottom of a well for thousands of years. Anyhow, as we know, he finally got out of the well. And then Krishna, he got, by the touch of Krishna, he became a demigod. So that's called, you may act in the mode of goodness, giving away, doing charity, even for pilgrimage and Brahmins. And there's a little mistake, you wind up in a very precarious position. So the material world means that the soul, he's choosing either goodness, passion, or ignorance, because that's the mind. Is in one of those three modes. And he's thinking he's making progress by doing it. Even people nowadays, we can see, they think they're making progress, but actually they're making progress to hell. But they think it's heaven. Like the fad is, you put tattoos every place in your body. Even they put it on their tongue sometimes. Put, pierce your ears, your nose, your tongue. You ever see someone opens their mouth and they have a pearl in their, on their tongue? Could you imagine piercing your tongue and putting a pearl there? Some of them, they think that's progress. They think they're becoming beautiful by doing it. And in the mode of goodness, no one's making progress in the mode of goodness, but ignorance and passion, you know, just like they built, Prabhupada said, they're building these cities. They're breaking this down. They're digging earth into the earth and then using the same earth to build something tall. Just Prabhupada said their business is just breaking building. And then after a few years, they break that huge building down. They don't blow it up. And then they go ahead breaking building again. They think they're making progress, but there is no progress. So on the mental platform, there's only changing of the mind from ignorance to passion to goodness to good ignorance and passion again. And as Krishna says, the way the material nature works, karmana sukritasya hu satvikam nirmalam. Yeah, that's right. Karmana sukritasya hu satvikam nirmalam palam. Rajasas dukam dukam. Agana tamasajana. That's not exactly right. It's close. Karmana sukritasya hu. It is said that from the mode of goodness, karmana sukritasya hu satvikam nirmalam palam. It is said that working in the mode of goodness produces sattva, happiness, sukha, happiness. Karmana sukritasya hu, satvikam nirmalam palam, rajasas tupalam dukam, and the pala, the result of passion, is unhappiness. Agana tamasajana, and the result of ignorance is misery. And then Krishna says, sattva nirupa sattvam sukhe sanjayati raja karmani bharata jnanam aritti tutama pramade sanjaya yuta. That's the other one. In any case, from the mode, if one works in the mode of goodness, then sattva. Remote. Sattvam sanjayate jnanam rajasa loba evacha pramada moha tamaso bhavato jnana evacha. So if you work in the mode of goodness, then you get knowledge. Sattvam sukham sattvam sanjayate jnanam. If you work in mode of goodness, you get knowledge. Knowledge means that I'm not this body and that there's a supreme person. If you don't know you're not this body, as we saw, and you don't know that there's a supreme person, then you're in ignorance. You may think I'm working in goodness, but if you don't learn, if goodness means to work in such a way as to realize we're not the body and that Krishna is God and that we're a spiritual soul. So, sattvam sanjayate jnana, rajaso loba eva cha. And passion means I'm not satisfied. I'm working, but I'm working to get some material result. I think if I can make progress materially, then I'll be happy. And sattvam sanjayate jnana, rajasa lobha evacha pramada moha tamaso bhavato jnana evacha. And ignorance means madness, delusion, and misery. So by working in goodness, then one becomes happy. Happy means that we're to find out we're not the body. Prabhupada was asked, what is the happiness in the mode of goodness? And Prabhupada said, if you think your happiness, you're happy in the mode of goodness, then you're in ignorance. There is no happiness in the material world. So how can there be even happiness in the mode of goodness? But happiness in the mode of goodness comes from knowledge to realize that we're not this body. That's the happiness. And in ignorance, then there's material desire. And what does that produce? It produces misery. Anyone who has material desire is going to be disappointed, because we're going to hanker for something
And even if we get it, so much trouble to get it, and then when we get it, we have to lose it, so then we have to lament. So it only produces misery. And in the mode of ignorance, where one's consciousness is covered, then the result is you simply become more and more bewildered. Every activity in the mode of ignorance brings you down into the deeper modes of ignorance, deeper covering, and so you become more and more bewildered to the extent that you think you're a fly. I mean, that's pretty bad for a soul to think he's a fly. It's bad enough to think we're human beings, but to think we're a fly or a worm or a germ, I mean, that's very unfortunate. If you identified yourself with Brahma, it wouldn't be so bad, the soul. But when he thinks he's a germ, that's quite unfortunate. So these are the choices. And as soon as we make a choice in the material world, unless it's the choice of goodness to realize that we're not this body, that we're actually spiritual souls, which is the only choice. But Krishna doesn't even seem to identify that choice with the modes of nature. That choice is actually based upon spiritual knowledge. So when we try to act in goodness, the only real way of acting in real goodness is ultimately to act in the goodness that will bring us to spiritual realization. Otherwise, we can act in goodness like the Brahmins who are performing the rituals, and then Krishna sent the cowherd boys there to beg some food from them. And although they were trying to elevate themselves to the heavenly planets, which should be a product of goodness, but actually they denied Krishna himself and Balaram and the cowherd boys, which is quite unfortunate. So they were actually acting out in ignorance. They actually were becoming degraded because they weren't taking Krishna's side. They were taking Kamsa's side. Even though they were lamenting that Krishna and Balaram sent the cowherd boys and we had the opportunity to actually serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we're so fortunate we have wives that they actually disregarded our orders and they went out and served Krishna and Balaram. But we couldn't do that. But we're so afraid of Kamsa, we're so much more or less working for Kamsa, that even though we know all this, we're still not going to go out and see Krishna and Balaram. So that's called, although apparently they were working in goodness, but actually they were working in ignorance and passion. On the other hand, when one is in, even if one is in goodness and ignorance or passion or goodness, one works to Krishna, then one gradually become elevated. But the point is that, generally speaking, when we're in ignorance and passion, ignorance and passion is generally qualified by those who are Chatura Vida Bhajante Mam, Janasukti Narjana, Arta Jignasya Artarati, Gyani Chabara Tarshiva. The four kinds of pious people approach me. Those who are Arthas, those who are in distress, those who are the artis, who want material gain, those who are jignasus, who are inquisitive, and gyanis, who actually know that they're not their body, they approach me. So these are persons who are in the most of material nature. The neophyte devotees are inclined towards the modes of nature, but because they have some knowledge, therefore they're inclined to utilize their material existence in Krishna's service. So that will elevate themselves. Although they're misidentifying themselves as being part of material nature, but because they've chosen a path that will elevate them out of the material modes of nature, therefore they're considered to be pious. Because they've chosen at least the right goal. Here in the material world, what is the goal? What are people's goals? What is our goal? Unless we know what the goal is, we don't know if we're making, whatever we're doing, we don't know if we're making progress. Of course, whatever goal we have, then we can judge our progress. But if my progress is to make another $1 billion, my goal is to make another $1 billion, what kind of, from the absolute point of view, what kind of progress is that? by my sinful activities, I'm making another $1 billion, I'm going to get into more trouble than I'm already in. It was problematic enough to make the first billion. And now I've chosen a path. Not only is it a problem to make the second billion, but I'm going to have to get the reactions for another billion. So it may be glorified in human society. This person is so advanced. He has such a noble goal to make another $1 billion, cheat another billion people. But still, actually, from the point of view of Krishna consciousness, that goal is not actually a very worthy goal for the soul, at least. So Krishna's first instruction in Bhagavad Gita is that we're not the body and that Krishna is God, and everything else is based on that. And anything that is not based on that must be in the modes of nature. And any goal one chooses in the mode of nature is going to be quite unsteady. Because even when one gets to goodness, just like the demigods are in order to get to that position, they had to be in goodness, acted piously. Acting piously means they actually had to follow the Vedic knowledge in some way. So they became elevated, but if their goal now is to enjoy sense gratification, the result is that they'll just they'll use up all their pious credit. Instead of elevating themselves further, they'll come back, and they'll have to come back to downtown Dallas. Maybe not as a human being, maybe as a bird in downtown Dallas. Because I think the demigods, they get a human form of life again somewhere. But then they can degrade themselves even further. So on the mental platform, we choose, the soul is sitting there, different offerings are there, according to one's past activities. So many different offerings are made by the material nature, and we choose, just like on a merry-go-round. Has anyone ever been on a merry-go-round? They have these things, if you grab hold of it, then you get a free ride. Anyone ever get a free ride? These little kids, you know, their arms that big and they have this ring over there. You know, they need a hook in order to get it. But anyhow, they reach out, probably fall off the horse trying to get a free ride. But the idea is that they can choose, they have an opportunity to choose to grab hold of something. And when they grab hold of it, then they get the result. So we're sitting there as a soul, we're really doing nothing. We're actually transcendental, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. We're really not even entangled in the material nature. But as soon as the material nature sends through a thought through our mind, and then we say, that seems like a good idea, we become attached to that thought, then Krishna's sitting there, he sees our attachment, he manifests it through the material nature if it's strong enough, and that's what we deserve. Or he just notes it, and we get the reaction for it anyhow. So in the future, a similar idea will be presented to us, and we may develop to the point that we actually will it. Thinking, feeling, willing. It becomes strong enough, comes into the category of willing, and then Krishna arranges through the material nature to fulfill it. But the soul is just sitting there choosing what desires are being presented, either spiritual or material, and he's just agreeing or disagreeing or becoming averse or becoming neutral, whatever. Just like some desire may flow through our mind, I want to kill this person. Now, most of us, we probably just let it float by. Now, if we thought it was a good idea, well, that in itself would be get us into trouble just by thinking it's a good idea. And then material nature says, oh, you think it's a good idea? Well, I got a plan for you. And if we keep on dwelling on it, and all the pieces of the puzzle fit together, and all the arrangements are there, and we actually deserve to have the ability to kill the person, then it's arrangement in material nature, and we become implicated in a murder. Which is not just like we decide to go to McDonald's, We may think, you know, it's rather far out, but actually most people are involved in murders in modern society. By getting involved in animal slaughter, they're actually equally involved in a murder. Actually, if you kill a bum on a street, you'll probably not get as much of a reaction as if you kill a cow. Well, I don't know. I'm not Yamaraj. I can't tell you. But it's not a good idea. So most... So most people are involved in all kinds of sinful activities, and they think it's completely normal because they're under the modes of ignorance. They have no idea what the goal of life is. They have no idea how to achieve it, what to speak of what it is. They think it's ridiculous. Being in the modes of ignorance, if you tell them the goal of life is to get out of the bodily concept of life, they think you're crazy. They call the police. You're a terrorist. So, only by hearing transcendental knowledge is there any possibility of actually understanding what the goal of life actually is. And that if one hears transcendental knowledge, then even a Shudra, who's more or less has an occupation, the mode of ignorance, or at least consciousness covered by the mode of ignorance, then even though, although they're arthas, they're suffering, but then they know my goal is to obtain Krishna, my goal should be to become Krishna conscious. And if I want to get out of my suffering, I want to become like what we consider a Vaishya, who actually knows how to eat properly and has fresh air, regulates the sense gratification, then I have to serve the higher persons. So they get some knowledge, and by that knowledge they elevate themselves. But even a Vaishya, a person who's an arthi, who makes money, or real money, milk and land and cows and grains and fresh air and fresh, has nice relationships. If they take those resources and they utilize it for sense gratification, then they become degraded. And if they utilize it to following the jignasus, the kshatriyas, who have learned from the Brahmins how to live life in a more civilized way, then the result is they become elevated to become a higher platform. And if their jignasus are inquisitive from the Brahmins, not just inquisitive, go on Google, spend your life searching Google, Google or whatever, Google or Goggle or Google, Google. Then the result is if you're actually inquisitive to realize we're not this body and that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you become a Brahmin eventually by following that path. By following the Brahmins, their instructions. But if you become a Brahmin and you don't utilize that knowledge to actually realize Krishna, then you become a demon. You become a Maya Pritigyana. Actually, not a Maya Pritigyana. You become an Astram Bhava Mashritya. You realize you're not this body to some degree, but you're envious of God, so you think that you're God. It's because, as Prabhupada said, the little accumulation, fractional accumulation of knowledge. So in this age, real knowledge is if you're a Brahmin, if you have some knowledge, then you should utilize it to convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or else you'll become a demon, an Asura Bhava Mashritya. And if you have some managerial ability, you've learned how to organize things better, it should be utilized for the Sankirtan movement, or else you'll become implicated by serving the demons, you'll become less than a Shudra. You'll organize for slaughterhouses and for other things, which are just like they have all these cell phones. And people are making so much, you know, the few people are making a lot of money. But what are the cell phones used for? You think you're doing a great service to humanity. They're calling up to find out, let's go to McDonald's. They're calling each other up, let's have an appointment at McDonald's. Well, let's go to the racetrack. Let's go to whatever. So it's being used for simple reasons, and the person who's manufacturing and making a profit from it, he's involved in so much sinful activity. If I manufacture a gun and I give it to a criminal, now I may make some profit from the criminal who will buy it from me, but I'll also become implicated in the robbery for selling the criminal a gun. So although modern society, they're glorifying the technological advancement, and a few people are seemingly making a lot of money from it, whatever they actually get out of it. But actually, they're just becoming more and more implicated. So managers should only utilize their energies to organize the Sankirtan movement. Similarly, people with money should only engage in their household life and to utilize, or in the temple and the Sankirtan movement, to utilize it to spread Krishna's glories. Although we decry sometimes the Muslims as being uneducated, especially in Vedic values, but we find the wealthy Muslims, they'll spend billions of dollars building a mosque. Of course, the mosque is probably not the highest level of, they're not teaching the highest level of devotional of life, but still they're willing to sacrifice their money. Some other religions also, in America, is actually quite pious in that respect. They'll spend money in some parts of the world, like in Texas, to build churches and temples and things. Vijay was telling me that here on one campus, they'll have 7 churches right on campus. But in Seattle, I guess, what state is that? It's not Oregon, it's Washington State. They had this big church on the campus, and they didn't know what to do with it because no one came. So they made a basketball stadium out of it. So people are losing their piety because they're acting sinfully. But in any case, there's some qualities that they should utilize their money in Krishna's service. And everyone else is a Shudra working, but what are they working for? So they can buy an iPhone or something. So they can find it. So they can utilize it for some sinful reason. Make money so they can go to McDonald's or whatever else. So people are uneducated. Rather than utilizing their energy to support the Sankirtan movement, at least to chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam, because of ignorance. Therefore, this preaching of Krishna consciousness, although it seems like an ordinary thing, but actually, it's the only thing that can save society. Only if they have knowledge that they're not their body and that Krishna is God and the goal of life is to obtain Krishna, then that's the only thing that will save people. Otherwise, they'll be forced to act for some Netavidu Swarthakatim Hi Vishnu Dharashya Ye Bahir Arthamanina. People don't know that the goal of life is to reach Krishna, and therefore they're forced to act for some insignificant thing. Even to become Brahma in this universe is insignificant compared to becoming Krishna conscious. What's the problem? Andarya Tandera Piyamanaste Pisha Tantra Rudami Bada. They're hearing from fools who also don't know that they're not their body and that Krishna is God. And therefore they're following them. They're blind people. They're blind. They're following other blind people. So the only hope is Naishamatis Tavadarukramangri. That there's some people who are not blindly following fools, they're following a self-realized person. And therefore they can help people understand, maybe not enlightening them. We ourselves may not be enlightened fully, but at least we can tell people that they're actually spiritual souls, and that the goal of life is to reach Krishna, the Supreme Person. And this is the process to do it. So we may not know the whole process, we may not realize the process, but if we tell people that, then we're actually their friend. Otherwise, we're another blind person that they may or may not follow, and we're also being led to the wrong place, following some other blind person. And the result is that they'll simply become more and more problems. So in summary, Krishna is saying it's good to hear from him and from his representatives, and everything else is bad. Good to hear from him and his representatives and to follow their instructions. Otherwise, everything else we're doing is just not only waste of time, but it can really get us into a lot of trouble. You don't mind becoming a worm and stool, no problem. And although it may seem like an exaggeration, but there are little worms and stool, and they didn't get there by accident. It was, and they, I can assure you that none of them came to the Bhagavatam class lately. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yeah. Yes.
You know, when we talk about, thank you so much for coming and for speaking. And thank you for the nice class. You know, when we talk about practical engagement in Krishna consciousness, you know, for most of us, it means taking care of our family, holding down a job, you know, and we're making people successful that we're working for. And obviously, you know, they're eating meat and doing so many things. So, you know, how do you see us practically being engaged to, you know, get free from these things?
Give your money to the traveling preachers.
So what you're recommending is the married men go out and work? No, really, honestly. You're recommending that the working men, you know, a married man go out and work and become financially successful, and then the brahmacharis and sannyasis stay in the temples and maintain the temples and preach. I mean, is that practically?
That's generally what Prabhupada said, but when there are no brahmacharis and sannyasis, the householders also have to take time and preach. Prabhupada didn't forbid. He was happy to see that the householders were also preaching. And if they can't directly preach, then they at least, probably said 50% of their income. But that the other 50% wasn't meant for the movies and for the, you know, it was meant to utilize in their household, to become, utilize it for their Krishna conscious household life. At least some, but some portion should be utilized for book distribution, prasadam distribution, for Harinam, to support the preaching. Otherwise, we're making money from sinful people who are making, you know, doing. Then we're implicated. And what's the implication? We utilize our enthusiasm, or we don't have the understanding and the enthusiasm to utilize those resources in Krishna service. That's the result. It's like, why did Akrura and Kritavarma become involved in the stealing of the Shyamantaka jewel? Do you know why?
They wanted that money. Oh, they saw that Krishna wanted it for King Ugrasena, and Satyajit wouldn't give it. So on one hand, they wanted to take it away from him.
No, they never took it away from him. No.
He was giving.
The actual story is these are just rumors. The actual story was Satyajit had the Shyamantaka jewel. It was given to him by the sun god. And he went into dwarf. This is the actual story, according to Krishna book. He was coming into Dwarka in order to show his opulence to everyone. And all the citizens thought he was the sun god. And they came to Krishna, who was supposedly playing chess, but actually, to tell you the real story, he was gambling with dice. Don't tell anyone else there, but. In any case, and Krishna said, oh no, that's not the sun god, that's Satyajit. He's just, you know, the sun god gave him, because Satyajit was such a good worshiper of the sun god, he gave him two things. He gave him maybe three things. But anyhow, he gave him two big things. One of them was the Shyamantaka jewel, which is, in reality, what was the Shyamantaka jewel? What's that? The Kastubha jewel. And who else did he give? Who else did Satyajit, who else was he given?
Satyabhama.
Satyabhama, and who's Satyabhama?
Radharani,
yes. She's actually Radharani. So as it turns out that Radharani, when Krishna left Vrindavan, Radharani and her best friend Vishakha, they get so distressed that they went into the Jamuna to drown themselves. But the sun god took them to the sun planet, saved them, took them to the sun planet. But then the sun god, because of Satyajit was such a good worshiper, he gave Radharani and the Shaman and the Kastubha jewel, because Krishna had given Radharani his Kastubha jewel. So now Satyajit wound up with Radharani. I mean, he must have been somewhat pious. wound up with Radharani, Srimati Radharani, and the Kastubha jewel. So I don't know if someone gave me the Kastubha jewel if I wanted to give it to anyone. What's the speaker of Srimati Radharani? But I don't think anyone's about to give it to me anyhow. And then he has, and Krishna asked for it. He actually asked that King Ugrasena be given that, the jewel. But Satyajit was attached to it. And as we know, the story went on. So, Akrura and Kritavarma, they, in one sense, they knew that Krishna wanted, he actually wanted Ugrasena to be given the jewel. So, they got in, seemed to get involved for that reason, but then Krishna gives another, at least, why they got involved in the sinful react, not just trying to get the jewel, but they got involved in the murder of Satyajit. The one thing trying to get the jewel for Krishna, but they got involved in the conspiracy to kill him. I mean, generally, Krishna's father-in-law, you don't want to get involved in the conspiracy to kill him. Although I made it get to get jewel back from him, but that's a little extreme. So why do they get involved in the conspiracy to kill Satyajit who happened to be Krishna's father-in-law? That's a mystery.
The jewel produced so much gold?
No. Yeah, the Kuru wasn't. No, Kritavarma wasn't attached to the gold. Kritavarma, he got involved because he was associating with Kamsa. He became an associate, and because of that, he got some sinful reaction for such association. And Akrura, why did he get involved in this sinful activity? Because the gopis cursed him when he took Krishna and Balaram away from Vrindavan. They cursed him, and because of that curse, he had to get involved in this sinful activity. So just by association, although Kritavarma is a pure devotee, so is Akrura. But by bad association, they got, well, because the Kuru was fulfilling Kamsa's order, he took Krishna and Balaram away and he got implicated in it. Although he also got the good fortune of associating with Krishna and Balaram, he got the bad fortune of being cursed by the gopis. Anyhow, Krishna worked it all out. Had a happy ending. So the point is, if we're involved in working for sinful people, then we'll get implicated to some degree. We're not Kritavarma or Akrura. We're going to become covered to some degree. And what is that covering? What's the result of it? We may make money, but we lose our taste for hearing about Krishna also. Even we can see amongst the devotees who are involved in materialistic, you know, working for materialistic people, they lose it. They move to Dallas in order to take part. You know, there's a temple here, there's programs. But they lose their taste, or they don't develop their taste, and they don't come regularly to the temple, and or they give a portion of their income. They don't get overly involved in Krishna consciousness because they don't understand that by their association with materialistic life, it takes their taste away. They have to make a concerted effort to utilize their resources in Krishna service, or else even if they live one block away, they won't come to the temple. It's too far away. Even though they were living in the temple, if you fall on one side, you come to the program. If you fall on the other side, you go, you do something else. It's too hard to fall on one side. You always fall on the other side, side of the bed. So that's bad. That's materialistic association. So it's not just a few householders, but every one of us, as soon as we associate with anything in this material world which is not conducive to Krishna consciousness, we become affected by it. But we're so much used to it, we think it's completely normal. We think that that's my identity. That's my choice. We think we're making a choice. But actually we're just being forced by our modes of nature to do those things. Therefore, Prabhupada stressed sadhana bhakti, because we don't have the intelligence to understand these things. But hopefully, if we just chant Hare Krishna to some degree of purity and concentration and avoidance of the offenses and come to the program, the gradually we may We will develop the intelligence to understand these things. Yes.
Maharaj, you know, when we talk about, you were talking about the modes of nature, and we're talking about Americans in general, you know, billionaires, like, you know, there was a message posted to me by one of my friends, and President Trump was saying, you know, real news that's not being presented is that since I've gotten to office, we've made, businesses in America have made $5.3 trillion above what the country was making before he was a president. So, you know, people do pride themselves on that, and we're saying that that's a pious reaction.
You don't say that. Who says that?
Well, that's my question. See,
they're not making money. They're making sinful activities.
Well, that's my question, because normally somebody thinks, wow, you know, billions of dollars are coming to these people. They have huge properties, so many assets, so many things, but it seems to be a great pious result. Now you're saying it's not.
Pious result? If you're opening a slaughterhouse and you make $1 million from it, is that a pious result? Your $1 million is a pious result. You got a million sinful reactions coming to you. just making papers of money is not piety. It's Yamaraj is not counting. Well, he's a millionaire, so. If he gives me half, we'll send him to heaven. That's the way things work. You have to, pious is the coin. If you follow the scripture, that's pious. You don't follow the scripture, you're going to hell eventually. You may not go to hell immediately, but you're becoming degraded. So there may be more money, paper money circulating, the idea of money, but it's the result is more sinful reactions, more war, more pestilence, more hurricanes, more of all the bad reactions for these sinful activities. Just some idea that you're making money. Probably the money means landing, taking, protecting the cows, milk, grains, fresh water, fresh food, nice relationships with people. That's piety. That's the result of pious activities. Everything else, these other things, contaminated water, contaminated air, contaminated minds, this is all sinful. It's the result of sinful activities. Thank you very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande.
His Holiness Prahladananda Maharaj Ki Jai.